Well, we're in the Advent season now, and so we begin a new series for this season about hope. Advent's a season of anticipation, of hope, of looking forward to what we're going to celebrate, yes, but also, and more importantly, to the return of Jesus. Today we're going to talk about signs and the signs of hope that Jesus gives us. Over the last couple of weeks, we had a dramatic issue in our air quality here. Because of the fire that was about 200 miles away, the air was horrible. I don't have to tell you, you lived through it, most of you at least. Experienced what I experienced, had the view changed, but worse than that was the feeling. I had asthma as a kid. I guess I'm like in remission or something. I don't know what it's called when you kind of grow out of it. I don't have the same issues that I had. I don't have an inhaler anymore. I used to have all the stuff, right? I used to get injections for it. But I remembered the feeling in my chest when it was coming. My great aunt lived in Oak Park, Illinois, which is close to Chicago, and we went to visit her one summer just for a day or two, and she had a cat. And it was one of those fluffy cats, right? Those cats that you just want to pet because the hair is long and it's soft like a cloud, right? But that cat to me was the enemy because as soon as we got to her house, the signs started to show up. And the first sign that my parents would see was the skin that's right here in the middle of your clavicle. Like, mine would start to go in, like, make indentations. I don't know what that's called, but it would start to, like, suck in because my lungs were getting tight. And so I was, what's that? You're a nurse. What's that mean? Retraction. Okay, I'll pull the nurses for medical terms. So retraction would happen, and then my shoulders would start to go up so they would see the signs in me even before I could feel it, but I remember that feeling. So as the smoke was lingering day after day here, I started to get that same sensation, and the feeling was there. And it was like, oh, is this going to turn into that full-on, you know, attack? So how many got masks? A number of us, yeah, went and found the mask. Paula ordered some, and then the delivery date was like a week away still. So then we heard there were some at the Kelly Moore. So, you know, called around and found a Kelly Moore. I was out in Santa Clara anyway, and she found that there was some in the Santa Clara Kelly Moore store. So I was like, okay. So I call him. I'm like, you still have some, right? I'm on my way. Because I saw the news, like lines forming and people, you know, grabbing those as soon as they got there. And so I made it over there, and I walked in, and nobody else was there. So I felt kind of silly for having called, like, well, hold some for me. But I got the masks, and then you know what happened right away almost after that? Then the forecast changed as soon as I got the mask. And then we had the guy on the news pointing out that there was going to be rain. The clouds were forming, and there was going to be a change to the weather, and then the rain came. What a relief, right? What a relief to the air here, and the, oh my goodness, cleared that smoke and a relief for the fire, too, you know, as rain started to fall and it helped with the containment and the extinguishing of the fire. But the hope came in the cloud, right? The hope was there as the cloud gathered. Today, as we talk about what Jesus is saying in Luke 21, he's talking about coming in a cloud and the hope that we have in that. He gives us signs to see. So see the signs that Jesus provides. Signs are helpful. Signs provide information to us. Signs talk about, you know, the speed limit is on a sign. Sometimes it's a one-way sign. Sometimes it's a sign that says, this is a safe space to brush the teeth of your killer whale. Is that what that one means? I guess that's what that is. Maybe that's construction. I don't know. I don't know what that is. You want to find something, you follow the signs, right? Signs direct our way. Signs help us identify what street it is. Imagine this. If your device that you use, and most of us probably do this, when we're trying to find something, what do? We key it in, right? Go. And then we just follow, turn right on whatever. You know, and then she's yelling at you, turn right. What I don't like is when, like, you're in the neighborhood or you're in a place where there's streets close together. Turn left, and it's like another 200 yards. And then you get that moment, like, wait, was that it right there? Was she telling me to turn and right now? Or is the next one? And then I'm always trying to glance at the map, right, and see the little arrow. Okay, I can't. Oh, I didn't miss it. Yeah. But if we don't have those, then we have to actually read the street signs. Remember those days? And the maps, and we have to follow signs to find what we're looking for. Signs give us information. Signs give advanced warning. Signs can warn us of things that are dangerous, warn us of things that we shouldn't be going into, road closed, bridge out, railroad crossing, all kinds of ways that signs offer a level of protection, right? Don't cross this, don't go there, stay away, don't touch, don't eat, whatever it is. Jesus describes signs of the end. There will be signs in sun and moon and stars, was in verse 25. And earlier in the chapter, so the context of this, Jesus in Jerusalem, and there's a conversation about the architecture of the temple. And wow, isn't this a great building? And look at this space where we are among the disciples. I mean, they're admiring. And Jesus is like, look, one stone on another, this whole place is going to be thrown down. Don't put your hope in this building. Don't put your belief into what's built by human hands, because it's all going away. Not only that, but there's more that's going to be happening. And here are the signs to look for. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes, and in various places, famines and pestilences, terrors and great signs from heaven. Just signs can give us advance warning of what is to come, but signs only help if you see them, right? Signs only help if you see, well, and if you understand. I've had some opportunities to travel internationally, and there's times when signs aren't so helpful, like, I don't know where to go. I don't even know what language that is. So if I were there, I wouldn't know whether to go left or right or straight. Thankfully, in times like that, I've been where, you know, I've not been there, but I've been where I needed to have a guide or someone who's helping me to navigate and to find things. In about a year and a half, a group of us are going to travel to Israel. And we're going to go, you know, walking in the footsteps of Jesus, and it's going to be a great opportunity to do that. I'm really grateful we're going to have a guide who will take us to places that are safe and probably, not just probably, definitely avoid places that aren't safe. So if you're interested in going, they will avoid the places that aren't safe for us and take us into some fantastic opportunities to walk in the steps of Jesus and tell us what we're looking at, right? To be a human sign pointing to what is there. Signs only help if you see and you understand. 4 years ago, we were, Paula and Max, our son, and I went to Kyrgyzstan. And as we were in the airport, I think it was on our way back, we saw this sign. I can't read any of the words on it, but I think I know what it means. The pictures are helpful. It's instructions. Signs only help if you see and understand, and also if you heed the warning. If you know what it says, and then you trust the sign is accurate, and you heed the warning. Sometimes if there's a railroad crossing sign, for like the VTA or otherwise, Ron Roberts, who works for VTA, I took a quiz this morning. He looked up there. He told me what intersection that is. Just looking at that, with all those signs that say, look both ways, and there's no train horn, and you know, these are tracks and pay attention. And he knew, so you can ask Ron what it was. Because I don't remember, he told me. So whether it's the VTA or otherwise, signs are sometimes ignored. I had a job, I worked as an engineer before going to the seminary, most of you know that, but at one point I had a job, it was north of the city of Cincinnati, which is where I lived. And so we lived on the west side of the city. and my job was on the north, so I had to go east and then north to get to work, and driving east in the morning is aggravating because the bright light is shining right in your face, and all that haze that forms on your windshield, you probably know what I'm talking about, right? It just turns into this whiteout thing that happens across the windshield, and you can't really see much. So there were probably at least 8 different directions I could go to. I mean, it was always east and then north, but different routes I could take to go to where I worked. And so this one day I was going east, and I was like, I just need to get off the freeway and take the surface streets and do this now. And I did, and here comes a train. And you know that moment when the train is coming and you have that thought, can I make it? You've been there, right? You wonder, and you've probably seen people or maybe done it yourself, where the drive around and get across those tracks before that train gets there, right? I didn't do it. I abided by the warning. The arms came down, the traffic stopped. Jesus gives us signs in this passage, and it talks specifically about clouds and glory. There's clouds and glory in view. This is not the only place where God's presence is connected to a cloud. There's several, in fact. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. That's in Exodus, when God's people are coming up out of Egypt and God is leading them himself in this appearance. I am coming to you in a thick cloud, God said to Moses on Mount Sinai. So God's presence there on the mountain with a cloud of divine presence covered the tabernacle in the wilderness. That's in Exodus about chapter 40. And a cloud shrouded the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. We could see that in Leviticus chapter 16. A cloud of glory, the majesty of God, filled the temple of Solomon at its dedication. So God's presence, indicated by the cloud, shows up several times in the Old Testament. And then the transfiguration. Jesus and he takes along Peter, James, and John. They go up on the mountain and Jesus reveals his true identity to them in a way that is hard to describe in words. And then comes the cloud, right? And the voice from that cloud, this is my son. Pay attention to him. Listen to him. With him I'm well pleased. And that voice comes from the cloud. And then Revelation chapter 1, picking up that same thought that we see here in Jesus' words. In Revelation 1, it says, he is coming with the clouds. Here's the promise. He's coming. The Son of Man is coming, will return. That's Jesus. It's the culmination of the signs. It's what we confessed in the creed. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. Right? From thence he will come. He's coming. Just before that in the creed, we talk about the ascension of Jesus. Right? That he was crucified, he's died, buried, rose again, ascended into heaven, ruling and reigning from there, and from there he's coming back. This is what we long for. This is what we look forward to, the return of Jesus. This is what the signs are pointing to, that the Son of Man will return. And that day brings judgment and joy. That day can create fear. In about 2007, we took a trip to Colorado. And we were out there in, where there weren't too many people around, and there was a train that went along. It was like paralleling the road that we were driving on. And somehow we knew this. The train goes through here pretty regularly, and so we had the idea to show our kids what happens to coins when you put them on the train track. And so we put a bunch of coins out there on the track, and we waited a little while, and then the train came, right? So that's what happens when the train comes. Anything that's on the tracks then gets smashed. Whether that's coins or cars, whatever's there is going to get run over, destroyed. That's why there's a railroad crossing. That's where those the lights and the sounds that take place at the railroad crossing, at the place where the tracks are, where you might be there. That's why there's that sign that says, don't stop on the tracks. Be careful. And that's why those arms come down to separate us from where the danger is. That's what those arms are for. Not to create a harder way to get through, but to separate us, because you want to be on the right side of that arm when the train comes. Because anything on the tracks is going to get demolished. What Jesus is talking about here is the separation from the place of danger. And his arms, outstretched on the cross, provide that for us. Jesus' arms separate us from the danger that is to come with the judgment of God, the wrath of God being poured out on that day. But Jesus' arms protect us from that. Stretched out on the cross, giving up his life for us. That's what Jesus did. That's what grace is, protecting us. The mercy of God protects us from the wrath of God and took that punishment on our behalf. Those same arms that separate us from the danger also welcome us. And Jesus said, look up, your redemption is drawing near. This is what those signs point to. Your redemption is coming. When Jesus comes back, it's for your redemption, to bring peace and forgiveness, restoration, and to restore hope for us. For all believers in Jesus, hope comes to us. It comes to us by faith, given to us in our hearts by the power of the Spirit. Jesus came to us and brought hope to us in his birth at Christmas. And Jesus comes to us with hope, gives us hope in his return, that we need not fear Jesus coming back, but that we look forward to that, that he's coming with power and glory. And so he encourages us, he invites us to watch and hope. Watch and hope. Pay attention. That's what Jesus is saying. Pay attention. Don't miss the signs. Here's the signs that are for us. Pay attention to the signs. Last week we went to a concert. It was Darcy Lynn, who won America's Got Talent. You know her name? That's the girl that's the ventriloquist. She's 14 years old now, and she won that whole competition. She's from Central Oklahoma, which is where the first church that I serve as pastor, where we used to live. And so we actually know classmates of hers at school, thanks to relationships we still have with people there. So it's kind of fun. And so plus she's super talented. Oh my gosh. The girl can sing. She did Italian opera as a ventriloquist. Like, most people can't do Italian opera moving your lips. She did it while also moving a puppet and not moving her own. And she sang wonderfully. It was unbelievable. It was incredible. So anyway, we went to this concert, and then after the concert, we went and saw Christmas in the Park, and then we walked back and got back to the car, and then we left the parking garage. And I knew where the freeway was, right? There's only one direction you got to go. You just go down there, and you get 280, and then you make it back over here, right? And which was fine. So I get to the freeway, and I'm like, okay, 280 north. I know I don't want that. I've made that mistake before. I did that, right, early on. So I know I don't want to go north to go north. Okay. So now I want the south, but there's no entrance ramp to the south. So there's a sign that points 280 south, turn left. So then I went under the freeway and I turned left, and there's no ramp or anything. And so I'm driving along, and okay, now where do I go? And then there's another sign that points to the left. And I'm like, we're going to go in a square. And I'm going to be back to where I started, and then I'll be aggravated. So then we're driving along, and I see a sign, and it's got the right shape. And then we get closer, and it says 280. And then we get a little closer, and it's, okay, south. And then we're like right up on it. I'm like, is that an arrow under there? Because it's like graffiti and whatever under there. It's not nearly as clear as that one. And finally, yeah, it's Paul is like, yes, yes, that's an arrow, turn. So then, yeah, turn and got to the ramp. Pay attention to the signs. Look for the signs. Look closely at the signs so that you know what they are. How many miles have you driven because you missed the sign? Right? How about that one from 101? If you're coming down 101 and you want to go on 237, first of all, let's just always call it the same thing. Okay? And then the way that ramp or the bridge is at an angle, and so the sign looks weird and it's hard to read. Ugh. So you're driving down that road, you're coming back from Palo Alto where you took your son to the orthodontist, and you're talking to your 14-year-old son or something, and you're talking to him and you're not reading the signs, and plus they don't say 237 until like the ramp. Oh wait, that's just me. Right. Have you been driving along and talking to somebody and not paying attention and missed a sign and driven out of your way? Yeah, we've all done it. Jesus is saying, pay attention, look for the signs. And he warned us that life would distract us, right? Hopefully not that distracted. She's talking on the phone and putting on makeup and driving along. So, yeah, that's not good. Right? This is what he warned. Watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life. Dissipation is like kind of reckless living, wasteful kind of lifestyle. Don't get distracted by living that way or by the cares of life. We've all got cares, right? We've got cares of life. We've got stuff we got to do. We've got people we want to stay in touch with. We've got family commitments. We've got school things or work things. Or we like to eat every day, right? So we got to probably, you know, get food. Got to go to the store. We got to, oh, and this time of year, oh, whose list is long, right? We got our tree last weekend and finished decorating Friday. Was it Friday? I think it was Friday night. We finished our decorating and we put all the leftover stuff because we have more Christmas decorations than can fit in three houses, I'm convinced. So we put all the leftover stuff in the boxes, and we put those back up above the garage. And we looked at each other. Paula and I were like, when was the last time? It wasn't even December yet, and our house was decorated. This never happens. What's that mean? Like, this is great. Now, but we're like, what's going to happen this month that we had to be more ready than usual or something? Usually it's like December 21st that we're finally done or whatever. Like, well, 4 days later, it's Christmas. Yay. We've had years that are kind of like that. And then, you know, this time of year, you get Christmas concerts and parties and events and, you know, your work thing, and you're connecting with people, and you want to add this celebration and that thing, and, oh, my goodness, before you know it, it's like you get to, have you gotten to Christmas and been like, oh, thank goodness, it's Christmas. Finally, I can relax again. Because there's also the mall. We went to a concert last night. And the idea was let's get together for dinner before the show, and so the person who made the had the idea, let's meet at the Cheesecake Factory. So we right, and we're rolling up to the Cheesecake Factory that's at a mall on December 1st. Guess what? We didn't find a place to park. It's horrible. We got there though. So there's all kinds of things that weigh on us, that distract us, that divide our minds, that take our attention. Plus, there's all the concerns that we have about family members or friends or people who are suffering or, you know, health concerns and all. You know your list. You know what's on your mind. You know what you've thought about 15 times in the last hour and 20 minutes. You know what you've thought about in the last minute and 20 seconds. Because you're thinking about what's going on the rest of today and this week. This is what Jesus is warning us about. To pay attention to the signs, to not get distracted, to not get complacent, and also to discern the truth. So he put these signs out there. He said, this is what's going to happen. But many generations have seen the fulfillment of the signs, right? Wars and rumors of wars. That's only been happening since forever. So then people start to gravitate toward and grab a hold of the sign and say, oh, it's now, right? And you get people with the end is near sign, right? There's somebody with a bicycle, end is near. And look at the signs and think, oh, this must be the fulfillment and the time is now. And we've seen that. From people like, you know, the Jim Jones and the David Koreshes and the Harold Campings and, you know, folks who are trying to put a date on it. And like 2012, like the Mayan calendar's running out. They must have known something. Jesus is like, look, discern the truth. He even warns us about people like that. I think it's verse 8, about deceitful people who are going to say, oh, yeah, he's here. This is it. The time is now. Jesus is like, don't follow those folks. Pay attention to the signs. Be in tune with what I'm telling you, that yes, the end is coming. In fact, we've been living in the end time since Jesus' ascension. He's coming back. But don't get worried. Don't be filled with fear in this. Hold on to your hope. Hold on to your hope. There's all going to be all kinds of things happening, and people are going to be filled with fear, and we're going to see these signs, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and wars are going to happen, and all of this, and famines, and earthquakes, and everything else. But hold on to hope. And when you're worried, and when life seems hard, hold on to hope. Because that's what we really need. We need hope. Rely on faith to sustain you. Watch for that coming day. Remain ready for Christ's return. Hold on to the hope that you have in Jesus. Because you know who doesn't have hope? A bunch of people. And they're going to pull at our hope, and they're going to try to take our hope away, but we need to hang on to that hope that we have and even give it away. Give it to people who don't have it, because we all need it. The hope we have isn't found in who's in charge, isn't found in what the weather's like, isn't found in anything other than this, that the King of Kings, Almighty God, was born for you, gave his life for yours, claimed you as his own, and is coming back for you. Amen.